I'm going to do something today and tomorrow, Lord willing, that it's not my own normal way of doing things. Instead of going through a particular book or section of Scripture and just working through it, we're going to look at a topic of wisdom and then address that topic from three different books. So this evening, kind of an overview of Proverbs, the wisdom of the ordinary life. But we all know that Proverbs is one of those books that it seems to give very clear, if you walk this way, then this will be the result. And we know that walking that way doesn't always end in, if you want to say, an easy result. Some people read Proverbs as though it is a law, but Proverbs is giving us generalities. It's giving us this is the ordinary way of wisdom. But Proverbs is not the only wisdom book that we have in the Bible. We have Job, which teaches us the wisdom of suffering. And then we have Ecclesiastes, which teaches us the wisdom of the complexities of life. And so, Lord willing, this evening we'll look at a few things from Proverbs, kind of a general view of wisdom, why we should pursue wisdom, the benefits of wisdom, and what wisdom ultimately points to, and then, Lord willing, tomorrow, consider Job and Ecclesiastes. There's another wisdom book, and that is Song of Solomon, and there are about a million different interpretations for that, and I was glad that we only had three sessions for this, and one of those wisdom books was getting cut, and Song of Solomon will be that one. So we're going to read a few verses from Proverbs 3. Let us hear the word of the Lord at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Before we consider this, will you pray with me? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your glory and grace. We thank you for the reality that you are the one true and living God. We thank you that you are holy, you are majestic, you are all glorious in all of your ways, and all that you do is right because you are good and you are wise and you are true. Lord, we also thank you that you are God and we are not. And we pray that as we consider what it is to have wisdom in this life and what it is to live wisely, navigating all of the particular spheres of life that you've called us in at work, at church, in the home, in all of our relationships, that we would find ourselves utterly and completely dependent upon you. Lord, we thank you that you have given to us your word, that you're a God who speaks and you've revealed yourself to us and that we can know you. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself from Genesis to Revelation as the God who saves and the God who guides and the God who leads. We thank you that in these books of Job and Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, that you are also the God who gives wisdom. Lord, we pray that we might seek a wisdom from above and not a wisdom from below. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us this weekend, that we might know your presence, that we'd also enjoy the fellowship, the communion of saints that we have. Lord, we pray for your divine assistance even this evening. We pray in Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen. So as we come to Proverbs, we're going to address a few things from chapter 3 here, but I do want to kind of set the stage of what wisdom is. One individual has said that wisdom is the grace of Christ beautifying our daily lives. And that is a wonderful definition of what wisdom is, how God restores us and how he is conforming us to his image and making us wise. But it's not only the grace of Christ beautifying our lives, but what makes wisdom beautiful in our lives is that wisdom is Christ-likeness. There is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul is addressing the gospel. There are various issues going on in the church of Corinth, and there's divisions there, and Paul is trying to get them back to getting their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were those in the church who were being enamored by the wisdom of the world, being enamored by sophistry, by impressive arguments. And Paul is saying, wait a second, you were redeemed by the message of the cross, which in the world's eyes is foolish. So the message of the cross is foolishness to the world, but the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. And then he brings us to the climax of chapter 1, where he then says, of God the Father are you, believers, in Jesus Christ, united to Christ, who himself was made for us wisdom. And that wisdom that he was made for us is righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so when we are considering what it is to be wise, the pursuit of wisdom in this life as opposed to a life of folly, we are pursuing Jesus Christ. We're pursuing him who is wisdom. And as we find ourselves conformed more to his image, as we find ourselves having the mind of Christ in us, which is what Paul in Philippians 2 says, we're finding that we are then living wisely in this world. And when we look at Proverbs, sometimes it's easy to read Proverbs as almost this sustained fortune cookie. When you get to chapter 10, verse 1, it's just proverb after proverb. And sometimes they're not seemingly connected with any kind of subject. They're just this, then this, this, then this. But we want to read Proverbs not as fortune cookies, but as God's revelation to us how we are to live wisely in this world. And we want to see Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, not as these independent books, but as wisdom books put in God's word because they are inspired by God and they serve a purpose. And so we want to look at Proverbs and all of these books as part of the whole Bible, right? And so if it's part of the whole Bible, then Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes, it has gospel. It has good news. This is the good news of how God saves sinners and makes them wise. And it teaches us how to navigate the affairs of this life. And what is remarkable about these books is that it reminds us that the God who is, the God who creates, the God who saves, is also the God who cares about all of the mundane affairs of our life. Because once you work through Proverbs, you see that he is addressing everything from how we handle money, how we use our words, how we live in the home, how we live with friends, how we live at work. And you look at those, and those are, in some ways, none of those are really exciting, flashy things. Those are normal things. Those are everyday things. Those are mundane things. And God cares about the mundane. And the glory of these books is that God has given us wisdom how to navigate the details of our otherwise mundane lives. And so that should be a great encouragement to us, because God cares and He sees. Even the verse that we recited before dinner, right? Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you sit there and say, well, what is eating and drinking? It's what we do in order to have sustenance. It's in order to get from one place to the next. And we don't often think of our eating as something by which we can glorify God. And Proverbs and the rest of the Bible teach us that it is a way that we can glorify God. But we want to put this in the wisdom literature, in the framework of the whole Bible, and see it as that kindness of God, the grace of God in giving to us instruction for our daily lives. And when we see it in this way, we see God's grace, because we want to go back to the beginning. It's always good to go back to the beginning. All right, the God who created, and He made Adam and Eve in His image. And this is just review. It's free review. And their bent was toward holiness. That they were made in righteousness and knowledge and holiness, and they communed with God, and God told them, look all around you. You can eat of all of this except for that one tree. And the day you eat of that tree, you will die. And so, in a sense, God is putting before Adam and Eve how to live wisely in His world. And by chapter 3, the serpent is tempting, and they turn their back on the wisdom from above, and they choose the wisdom from below, the wisdom of the serpent. And they eat of the forbidden fruit, and communion with God was broken. Fellowship with God was broken. The bent toward God was broken. Now there is depravity, bent toward sin, and the state in which we were all born in, darkness and rebellion and foolishness. And you could look at the great cosmic battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent as the battle between wisdom and folly. And by nature, we are fools, and God redeems us from that, and we still have the corruption that remains. And so every day is a wrestling with, am I going to live wisely today? And so we want to put all of this within the framework of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made for His wisdom, who's redeemed us from folly, and is saving us for wisdom, and the great hope that we have that God has saved us from His wrath by His grace for His fellowship. And so we come now to Proverbs. We have two kinds of wisdom, and Solomon here is the primary author of Proverbs. In the first 9 chapters, he is writing this as a sustained introduction. We have several poems that are highlighting the beauty of wisdom, almost compelling us to be wise. If I could say, he's impressing upon us what wisdom is, and he's getting us to want to be wise. And it's introduced with, my son, hear now my words. And you have that in verse 1 of chapter 1. The book begins, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of King of Israel, to know wisdom, to know instruction. Verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction. Verse 1 of chapter 2, my son, thou wilt receive my words. Chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching. And again, I think if we put this within the framework of the whole Bible, we have a greater than Solomon, right? Who is Jesus Christ. And so Solomon is writing to his son, the youth of the royal court. But then there's Jesus, who is wisdom, who is instructing his sons, the royal priests, the co-heirs of the kingdom, and we are to hear and to heed his voice. And again, what Solomon is giving to us is a wisdom from above. It's a wisdom that brings life. It's a wisdom that does not lead to death. And it is not of the world. The book of James in the New Testament is sometimes referred to as the New Testament Proverbs. It's the New Testament wisdom book. And remember what James says in chapter 3. He says that we are by nature fools, and we have the wisdom that is, that there's the wisdom that is earthly, it's unspiritual, it is of the devil, and we don't want that wisdom, right? We want wisdom from above, and we want to see Jesus Christ. And so Proverbs here is going to plead with us to hear wisdom, to hear the words of life, to hear the commandments. And it's something that we should be conscious of. If there's anything that this particular series does this weekend, if it at least brings us to a place where we recognize our perpetual dependence upon God at all times, then I think that's a good thing. If it brings us to a place where we are not dependent or relying on ourselves, that's a good thing. God's word is very clear that self-reliance, self-assurance never ends well, right? There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is destruction. There's a way that comes from God that leads to life. And that is the way that we want. I mean, I don't think that any one of us wakes up and thinks, you know what? Wisdom is kind of hard. I kind of want to be a fool today. And then we go into every event of our day, I'm like, what would be the foolish thing? What would be the most ridiculous thing for me to do? I don't think any of us would ever wake up and do that. But if we're not waking up and recognizing our conscious dependence on God, then we're going to land on that foolish side somewhere. And so we want to be conscious of God. We also have in Proverbs the reminder that wisdom comes from God. He is the one who gives God. And that is a great encouragement to us, because he's not left us wandering around in this life. He's given us his word. And he says in Proverbs and he says in James that if you lack wisdom, what do? You ask. You ask for it. And then James says, and if you ask and you keep asking, he's going to give liberally. He's not going to chide you. He's not going to upbraid you. I often think of this. So we were talking earlier today, I have two kids, 12 and 10, and they both ask questions perpetually, often, why? Why do we have to do this? Why all these? Just question after question. And sometimes in my flesh, I get impatient, which Proverbs says much about that, but that's not part of this story. And they ask, and sometimes they ask the same thing over and over, and I get impatient. But here's God who says, look, anytime you lack wisdom, ask of me. Right? He's not going to respond to us and like, okay, you've already asked 10 times today. You've already requested this 4 days in a row. No, he's actually telling us, when you lack it, ask, I will give liberally, because God is a infinitely graciously kind God. And he is our Father. If we are in Christ, he's our Father. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to his children? And what is the greatest gift? than his own son, and then all that comes with his son, which is wisdom. And so we can go to him. And so Proverbs teaches us that wisdom comes from God, and then it's going to teach us what wisdom is. And if we could summarize what wisdom is, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And this knowledge is not just data, but it's knowing how to live in God's world according to God's way. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. And so we need to fear God. All right, so Proverbs brings us right to the essence of this. And it's, do you fear God? And this is going to be the message of Ecclesiastes. And what is it then to fear God? It is to live in the constant awareness of who God is and to factor God into all of our lives and to live our lives not detached from Him, but to be aware of Him, to trust in Him, to abide in Him. And we don't want to confuse knowledge about God with the fear of the Lord. We have to know about God for sure, but there is with that the trust, the love, the awareness, the factoring in. There was a 20th century poet named T.S. Eliot who asked the question in his day, where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? And where is the knowledge we have lost in information? And that's a fascinating quotation because he said that long before the internet and social media. And we now, in our era, we have access to so much information at our fingertips, probably more than any other generation. And Has it made us wiser as a culture, as a society? I'm not sure it has. And so we want to, again, consider God's word and Proverbs and understand that there's more to fearing God than just being able to fill in the blank on a test question. Fearing God is knowing what God has said about himself and believing it and resting in it and obeying. It is obeying. And so what I want to do here then is just give you a real brief overview of what we have in Proverbs and then a few things about wisdom. So Proverbs 1:1 gives us where this is coming from, the Proverbs of Solomon. The purpose of the book comes in verses 2 through 6. And the purpose of the book is that God is revealing wisdom to us. And the theme of the book is in verse 7 of chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then chapters 1 through 9 are these poems that set out the beauty and glory of wisdom. And then chapters 10 and following are the punchy proverbs. The proverbs that address everything from what we see, what we hear, what we say, what we do, how we live in our relationships, friendships, how we live in our relationships in the home, between spouses, parents, you name it, there is a proverb for it. And not all the proverbs are easy to understand. Some proverbs even seem contradictory. You have one proverb that says, answer a fool according to his folly. And then the next one says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And you say, well, what's going on here? And our first rule of interpretation is that the Bible cannot contradict itself. And so again, this shows us the wisdom of Proverbs. Sometimes it might be good to answer a fool. Other times, you're wasting your time if you try to answer a fool. Put them together, you're probably never going to win with a fool. And so you have to have discernment. So the Proverbs are actually giving you a roadmap of how to be discerning in this life about all particular kinds of areas. And so then in chapter 3, which is a beautiful chapter, we have a few things regarding what wisdom does. And we see what wisdom does in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 is probably a life verse for many, a favorite verse for many. I don't know how many times I've seen this on art in the home, calligraphy or something. But we see first, wisdom is governed by God's word and not our own understanding. Wisdom is governed by God's word and not our own understanding. It's a beautiful phrase there, you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That word trust, the word trust and has the idea of rolling over to the Lord. It is the acknowledgement that God is God, we're not. He's the one who makes us, we're made in His image. He's the one who's all wise. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning and how all things work and relate to each other. And so when we then consider our lives, whatever it is that's going on in our lives that might be bringing anxiety, that might be stressful, bringing worry, here is Proverbs saying, wisdom rolls everything over to the Lord, and it does not rely on its own understanding. We are governed by God's word. We have to be a people who know the Bible. And this, it may sound foundational, but it's not. It is and it's not. We have to be people who know God's word. And, you know, we don't read the Bible in order to get God to love us more. We don't read the Bible in order to pacify God because we did something naughty the day before. We read the Bible to know God. In union with Jesus Christ, He can't accept us more than He does. We read the Bible to know Him. There's no way that we can navigate this world wisely if we don't know what the Bible says. There are some who say, I don't want to read the word because it's just over my head. It's not practical. It's not relevant. You know, I just need three steps. And then my marriage would be better, or this would be better, this would be better. But you can't have the solution to life's complexities and problems and our own sin if we don't know what God says about it. I mean, and here's the irony. There's nothing more practical or relevant or down to earth than the Bible. And it addresses us where we are. It addresses us what we do with our sin. It shows us how to confess, how to repent. It shows us the assurance of pardon that we have. It gives us all that we truly do need. And it's so easy to go through the day and just rely on our own understanding. And the first thing that wisdom is shouting is, it's saying, wait, rely on God's word. He's given this to you. The second thing that wisdom does is wisdom finds Christ and embraces Him. Again, we don't lean on our own understanding, so what do we do? In all of our ways, what do? We acknowledge Him. We embrace Him. It's not acknowledge sometimes in our language, you know, in 2018, I mean, you walk by someone you know, you acknowledge their presence with a little head nod. This is not the acknowledge. Like, Solomon is not saying, as you walk through your life, you know, throw the occasional, you know, hat tip to God. No, we're to acknowledge Him is to embrace Him. It is to rely upon Him. It is to trust Him. If you go to James, which again, I think I mentioned, sometimes referred to as the New Testament Proverbs. If you go to James chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Of God's own will he begat us by the word of truth." The word of truth in the New Testament is often shorthand for the gospel of the good news that God saves sinners through Jesus Christ. So it's the word of truth is the work of Jesus Christ. And then if you jump ahead to verse 21 of chapter 1, it says this, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word." We receive the word by which he begot us or made us alive is Christ. The word which we receive, the implanted word that's been received, is Christ. And Proverbs 1 is also going to say, "My son, receive my instruction." That's what it is to acknowledge the wisdom. It's to acknowledge Jesus Christ. It's to rely on him, to embrace him, to find our soul satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third thing wisdom does, it commits all of our ways to the Lord. In all of our ways, he will direct our paths. He will lead us and guide us. And that's where there's sometimes a rub. Sometimes we want to think that if I embrace Christ, I acknowledge him, I love him, then all of these promises of length of days and years of life means nothing but easy circumstances. But that's not what is being promised. You can have difficult circumstances and still have peace and still have the enjoyment of your days. And so sometimes when we commit our ways to the Lord, it leads to prosperity. Right? It leads to blessing. We have verse 9 of chapter 3. "Honor the Lord with thy wealth and with the first fruits of thy produce." Right? We have that. But then we also have verse 11. "Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Don't be weary of his reproof, of his chastening." Why? Because the Lord reproves whom? The one he loves. So when we commit our ways to the Lord, sometimes he guides us, as Psalm 23 says, and we may consider that, Lord willing, Sunday morning. Sometimes it's in the green pastures. Sometimes he leads us in the path of righteousness that takes us smack dab into the dark shadows of the valley of the shadow of death. And so wisdom is not only trusting God when things go right, or only trusting God in order that things go easy. Trusting God is trusting God. Period. Regardless of how it ends. And is this not Hebrews chapter 11? Right? Hebrews chapter 11, you have what's the hall of faith. A lot of times we like the first half of chapter 11 because all of those stories end well. It gets a little awkward when we get to the second half of chapter 11 when it says, "And these believed and they were sawn in two. This one believed and was eaten by a lion." Right. That kind of don't know what to do with that. And the first three individuals, I believe, in chapter 11, right, you have Abel believed, then Enoch believed, and then Noah. And I believe it was one commentator said, Abel had faith and he died. Enoch had faith and he didn't die. Noah had faith and everyone else died. So it's pretty much a summary. And I think those are the three first people listed for a reason. That the point is not believe God for a specific outcome. The point of Hebrews 11 is look at the people who believed God, regardless of the outcome. And then it says, and the world was not worthy. Right? That's what Proverbs wants to get. That's wisdom. Wisdom is fearing God. It's trusting God, regardless of where this may lead us. And again, it's easy to read Proverbs and say, well, you know, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts rolling. Well, okay, in the ancient Near East, people dug pits, and if they didn't cover it up, which they should have done, then someone's going to trip in it, right? And but sometimes we see evil people doing things, and they don't seem to be caught in what they're doing. Right? So there's a general, Proverbs giving us a general way of things. Normally, when evil people do bad things, it comes back to bite them. Normally, when people follow wisdom, it goes well. But sometimes, it doesn't. That's why we have the book of Job. Because Job trusted God and suffered greatly. And that's why we have the book of Ecclesiastes. You have the same one giving us these proverbs, who's also saying, you know, when I scan the world, it's kind of a stinky place sometimes to live. You know, it seems like the wicked really do prosper. It's the whole Asaph thing from Psalm 73. Surely God's good to Israel, but you know what? For me, I'm slipping. Why, Asaph? Well, because I'm envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Everything it seems they touch turns to gold. Everything I seem to touch goes to pot. And then he gets to the place where he's almost ready, it seems, to crumple up the faith and toss it in the wastebasket. And then he says, until what? Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. And actually, the folly of looking at the prosperity of the wicked, really, God has put their feet on slippery places. And so Solomon is saying, look, if a proverb doesn't seem to come true immediately, don't doubt it yet. Give things time. And that's what Ecclesiastes is about. So we want to pursue wisdom. We want to see wisdom. We want to be wise, because it glorifies God. And again, to go back to that initial definition, it beautifies us. I mean, I know this is a men's conference, and I know a lot of high-powered guns were shot today, and probably the last word that was anticipated at tonight would be the word beautifying. I get that. But if wisdom is the grace of Christ beautifying our lives, then I think that's a good, that's a good beauty. And so may God do this work in us. And may the pursuit of wisdom be for us tonight and tomorrow and the days to come. Be an opportunity for us to pursue Jesus, to depend on him, to turn from self-reliance, to hate sin, to be quick to confess, be quick to encourage one another, as Proverbs says, iron sharpening iron in the way of wisdom. And may he be gracious to us and conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your glory and grace, and we thank you for these men. Lord, we pray that they might stand out as wise men. Lord, not a wisdom of this world, but a wisdom from above. Lord, may they navigate the complexities of life. We understand that we live in a fallen world, and that sin is twisted and things are not easy. Lord, we pray that you would give us a wisdom where we might be able to untangle the complexities of this life and know how to live in this life in a way that's pleasing to you, but also that is joy-filled. Lord, may we be a truly contented people, Lord, with the peace that only your wisdom brings. Lord, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you that you've not left us to ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word in order to make wise the simple. And we pray, Lord, that we would not remain in that simple mindedness, but that we would grow in our love for you. And may we trust you and love you. And Lord, may our fellowship be encouraging, strengthening. Lord, may it be a time of joy-filled laughter and praise and good discussion. And Lord, we ask all of these things in our Savior's name, who has been made for us wisdom. Amen.